host, Jace. This is our monthly previews episode where we go through the previews catalog. And this previews is number 356, May 2018, for books mostly shipping in July. And what's interesting is Marvel has had a separate catalog for quite a while now. And this is the first time that DC has their own separate catalog. DC Previews, also soliciting comics on sale July 2018. So by your previews now, you're getting three catalogs, four if your retailer is one of the ones that throws in the Image X or whatever it's called. So a lot to go over, a lot of books coming out in July, you know, summertime, always events and relaunches and all that kind of good stuff. But I thought before I went into that, I'd cover some news items. There's quite a few items of news that have come out over the last couple of weeks. So there was some rumors. I think it was an article on Bleeding Cool that said there's an event coming later in the year from DC, and it's just being called Crisis. Not Infinite Crisis, not Absolute Crisis, not Crisis on 52 Earths, or what else? Final Crisis. But just Crisis, which obviously we know that word at DC carries a lot of weight. But supposedly it's not true. Because as I said, it showed up on Bleeding Cool. You got to take everything you read there with a grain of salt. But I guess Jim Lee got word of it and he tweeted out shortly after. And I want to say this on Saturday. He said, and I quote, "Rumors of reboots are ridiculous. Just stop with the misinformation. Thanks and have a great weekend." So I guess it remains to be seen. You know, things change and could be a reboot, could not be. I mean, we've heard recently from Bleeding Cool some rumors about different creators. They were calling it a DC Fresh Start, then it was called a Creative Refresh. So, I mean, who knows? The fact of the matter is that comics change, can't keep the same creators on the same books indefinitely. And they move around a lot more now than they used to. So, like I said, I guess we'll wait and see. Speaking of DC, there's some rumors that Gerard Way, his Young Animal imprint at DC, is going to go on a hiatus. Supposedly it's not going away forever, but after the current run of the miniseries, according to Alexander Liu over at Comics Beat, the line, which was had quite a few delays, actually, especially for Doom Patrol. It's just kind of take a break, maybe let everybody recharge, kind of reassess, and maybe if they do decide to keep moving forward, get a little ahead, you know, get three or four issues in the can before they resolicit. So I haven't actually read too much of it myself. Read a little of Doom Patrol, just wasn't my cup of tea. I did like the Milk Wars crossover. That was a lot of fun. And I do like Mother Panic, I think, is the name of the title. I think it's by Jody Hauser. I do enjoy that title. So I guess we'll see. Also at DC, we got a sneak preview of what the Justice League logo is going to look like on Scott Snyder's new run. To me, it feels a little early 2000s. Don't quite know how I feel about it yet. But I will put a link in the show notes or put a picture of it in the show notes. So what's interesting is they showed what the logo looks like and they've shown what the cover looks like, but they haven't shown what the cover and the artwork, the logo, look like together. But there have been a few websites that have put them together through the magic of Photoshop. So I will put a picture of it in the show notes so you can see what it looks like and let me know what you think. Let's see what else. Over at Marvel, some news about Amazing Spider-Man 800. Supposedly it has sold 450,000 copies and it's a $10 book. So you can imagine that it's going to be the number one book of May as it comes out on the 30th. Only 50,000 shy of the Action Comics 1,000. Action Comics 1,000 at 500,000 copies didn't sold out or hasn't yet. And Amazing Spider-Man apparently is already, Amazing Spider-Man 800 is already going to a second print. So it's kind of crazy to think that a book that's only, you know, 800, I mean, yeah, it's a significant number, but it's not 1,000. I don't know. Maybe it's just Marvel and their tricks that they like to do with their, got to order 100 and whatever percent of this to get that. And, you know, they have, I don't even know how many covers, 7, 8, 9, 15 covers. So, although I guess, to be fair, Action Comics had, you know, 10 regular covers or, you know, 10 variants, the Jim Lee regular, the 8 decade variants, the blank, and then a bunch of retailer exclusives. So I don't know. I guess Marvel just still outsells DC. That's all you can say. Also, this is kind of Marvel related. The Iron Man suit from Iron Man 1 apparently got stolen from wherever it was being stored in Los Angeles. So if that was you and you managed to heist it, wow. I imagine that maybe there will be a movie about you and your heisting of the armor at some point. Kind of interesting and funny and crappy all at the same time. Supposedly it's worth about $250,000, and I imagine if somebody took the time to steal it and went through all the trouble to plan this elaborate heist, they had a buyer lined up already, and it's probably going to be in somebody's private collection, never again to see the light of day. Again, being that it was from Iron Man 1, it's you'd think it would have been displayed somewhere, honestly, but c'est la vie. Back to some DC news as I'm hopping around here. The rumors are that DC is canceling Batwoman in August, and this is based on the solicit from Amazon, actually. The Amazon listing says that it's the stunning conclusion to this chapter of Batwoman's history, and the volume 3 is going to collect numbers 12 through 18. So, I mean, when you could take that to be, okay, ends this chapter, meaning this volume, but Batwoman hasn't really been selling that well, so it would not surprise me at all if it turns out that it is being canceled. So again, I guess we'll wait and see. Also in some DC news, there's some pretty cool covers coming out from DC right now, the alternate covers, and the new kind of, they're almost like version variants. And if you know what a version variant is, it just has almost no trade dress on it. So you're getting a pure look at the art as much as you can. So what DC's been doing lately is putting very small print on the bottom of these variants, giving us the title and the issue number, as well as some creator credits. But again, very small print on the bottom of the front cover. So you're getting as much of the art as you possibly can see. And particularly, there's been a lot of Francisco Martino alternate covers lately that have been getting a lot of attention. If you just Google like Deathstroke 32, Francesco Martino, you'll see what I'm talking about. Also, the Hawkman variants by Stepan Sejic are also really, really cool to look at. So definitely check them out. Oh, and I should also mention that Jim Lee, yes, that Jim Lee, is doing a series of variant covers for Justice League. So issue 1 is going to be Batman. And then I think he was talking about doing Aquaman or Martian Manhunter for issue 2. Recently on his Twitch stream, he was talking about saving Superman and Wonder Woman for a little later in the run, just to try to keep numbers up, right? So, I mean, really, if they're trying to keep numbers up, they would have done like Flash or Cyborg or somebody on the first one, because you know people are going to buy the first issue. And then you do Batman later, and you get a boost from the numbers. But what do I know? I'm just a longtime comic reader. Let's see. Let's head back over to Marvel news. If you weren't able to pick up the Marvel Free Comic Day issues for 2018, those titles are now available online for free. Just go to Comixology, and you can download them there. Also, I mentioned Amazing Spider-Man 800, but in some related news, Marvel has ordered a 801 Humberto Ramos cover variant. So Humberto Ramos has done a few different connecting cover variants for Dan Slott's final issue of the series, and they all connect together. And if you Google it, you can find what the connecting covers look like all together. It's really pretty cool. They tend to be a little on the pricey side for me, though. But there is, of course, a tier you have to reach. Any retailer who ordered the Amazing Spider-Man $7.99 Ramos connecting variant will receive 90% of that order for the Amazing Spider-Man 801 because, again, 801's already been solicited, but they just forgot to put it in the order, so they're ordering on the retailer's behalf. Chris Claremont is returning to the X-Men next week. He's going to be writing the X-Men Wedding Special, so if you're an X-Men fan, specifically of Chris Claremont from way back when, may want to check that out. You know, he did an awfully long run on X-Men, legendary run, and was really the one who kind of sowed the seeds of Kitty Pryde and Colossus's relationship. So that relationship's finally culminating in marriage, so it's nice to see that he's going to get to say something about that. And I guess that does it for news. Let's go ahead and jump into previews. I'm going to start actually with the Marvel previews. And the first thing I'm going to mention is, although it's not in this previews because it's in, it'll be in next month because it's for August, is the Fantastic Four is returning. I don't know if I've mentioned that on the podcast before. Dan Slott writing and Sarah Pacelli doing the art. And from what I understand, there's going to be, it's basically going to be like Fantastic Four month in August, where a lot of the other titles that Marvel puts out that month are going to have Fantastic Four themed covers. 20 covers last I heard. That'll be in addition to however many covers they do for Fantastic Four number one. But coming out in July, we have a new Captain America number one from Ta-Nehisi Coates and art by Lanelle Francis Yu. So again, that Mark Waid run that followed the Nick Spencer run, where Cap became an agent of Hydra that was so controversial. Wade's run didn't really last too long, just a bit of a palate cleanser to kind of bring Cap back to his roots, and now we're going to see Ta-Nehisi Coates get to put his stamp on Captain America. Next book I'll mention is Amazing Spider-Man number 1 and 2 coming out in July by the aforementioned Nick Spencer with art by Ryan Ottley. Most recently of Invincible, rather. So I know a lot of people are looking forward to that. Supposedly it's a back-to-basics return of Peter Parker and the Amazing Spider-Man character, whatever that means at that at this point. But he's following Dan Slott, so some might say Slott's overstayed his welcome. He certainly had a long run, wrote more issues of Amazing Spider-Man than any other writer in comics history. So it's going to be interesting to see what the numbers look like for Amazing Spider-Man now that Slott has moved on. We also have a new number one for Captain Marvel. This is a limited series. It's 1 of 5. It's going to be written by Margaret Stoll with art by Carlos Pacheco. And there's also a variant cover of number one by Stanley Art Germ. So I want to point that out because I know a lot of people love his covers. And definitely pre-order because they're going to sell out quickly just looking at this cover. It looks beautiful. It's going to catch a lot of people's eyes. And as far as another Captain Marvel number one, it seems like she's always getting number ones. It seems like she gets number ones, lasts for a little while, gets canceled. But Marvel continually keeps pushing her as a character they want to succeed in. It just seems like based on the frequency of you know, restarts with her, relaunches, that maybe it's time for Marvel to take a break from her. But I do understand them wanting to have a Captain Marvel title on the stands when the movie comes out later this year, so maybe that has something to do with it. And speaking of number ones and limited series, we have Cosmic Ghost Rider number one. So this is a character that was formerly a Herald of Galactus, was a pretty important figure in the recent story arc in Thanos by Donny Cates. And from what I understand, it's actually some, I don't know if it's a future version or an alternate universe version or somehow it's Frank Castle. You know, Frank Castle's in the Punisher title right now wearing the old War Machine armor, yet there's a Frank Castle here that supposedly is Cosmic Ghost Rider. Not really sure how it works. Haven't read the Thanos run of Donny Cates, even though I have all the issues. But he looks really cool. I can say that. And the art is by Dylan Burnett, with some covers by Jeff Shaw, Mike Diodato, Stephanie Hands, Mark Brooks. Ooh, Mark Brooks. Where's that one? Definitely need to check that one out. Not here. We have to find out what that one is going to look like. So anyway, if you're a fan of Cosmic Ghost Rider, look for that. Let's see. Up next from Marvel, I wanted to mention there's another volume of Ed Piskor's X-Men Grand Design. It's being subtitled Second Genesis. Again, it's going to be a two-issue series. If you're not familiar, X-Men Grand Design, it was Ed Piskor basically giving like his complete take and history on the X-Men. The first one was, you know, it's not the golden age, but really kind of the first big chunk of X-Men stories, the classic X-Men stuff, you know, the five members. And it looks like this volume is going to be when the new X-Men start. So, you know, we see Thunderbird, we see Havoc, we see the Jean Grey Phoenix version. So, again, really recommend that. The first two sold out like so quick, and they ended up going to second printing. So probably something you're going to want to let your retailer know you're interested in to make sure you get a copy. I also want to mention that Infinity Countdown concludes with Infinity Countdown number 5. Jerry Dugan, Aaron Cutter, Mike Diodato, Mike Hawthorne, and this is going to lead directly into the Infinity Wars countdown coming up next month. In fact, we even have an Infinity Wars Prime number 1 solicited in this issue as well from Jerry Dugan and Mike Diodato Jr., but there's no description at all. Oh, wait. I take that back. Trust us, Marvel fans, before the Infinity Wars begin to rage across this shocking chapter of the cosmic saga that you will not want to miss. The ramifications of this issue will be felt throughout the Infinity for years to come. We can say no more. So a 40-page one-shot, $5. I imagine if you're super into the Infinity story, you're probably going to want to pick that up. Also, the Hunt for Wolverine event is continuing. Hope you guys are all listening to our Tuesday episodes about that. In fact, same day that I'm releasing this episode, Nick and I are talking about Adamantium Agenda number 1. So we've got issue 3 of that title, as well as issue 3 of Claws of the Killer, Mystery in Madripoor, and Weapon Lost number 3, all being released in July, continuing the story of the heroes hunting for Wolverine's missing body. We've also got, speaking of the aforementioned Dan Slott, with art by Valerio Schitti, Tony Stark Iron Man number 2. It's going to be pretty interesting to see Slott bring Tony Stark back into the armor. You know, most recently it's been Riri Williams, I believe that's her name, as Ironheart. But with, I believe, Iron Man 600, Bendis's last work on the character, Tony Stark came back, and then we had a new Iron Man number 1 solicited last month for June, and now we've got issue 2 here, so definitely going to be checking that out. Let's see, what else from Marvel? I think there was too much else. Oh, I did want to mention that in anticipation of the return of Fantastic Four in August, there is going to be a ton of the True Believers issues from Fantastic Four for the month of July. It looks like there's 12 altogether. It looks like number 1, number 4, I believe it is, which is the first appearance of Doctor Doom, 55, which is the first appearance of Silver Surfer and Galactus, along with a 112. I see a What If issue, What If Spider-Man Joined the Fantastic Four, which is a very classic story, some Burn issues, so a whole lot of Fantastic Four for a dollar a piece in preparation of that title returning. Let's see, is that it from Marvel? No, looks like I have something else marked here. Let's see. Oh, I wanted to mention there's an X-Men Classified number one title, written by Classified, art by Classified, cover by Classified. We do know it has a variant cover by J. Scott Campbell and a variant cover B by J. Scott Campbell, a variant cover by Scotty Young, and then version variants of both J. Scott Campbell covers. So absolutely no idea what it's about, because it's Classified, but just wanted to point that out in case there's any X-Men fans out there that are curious. Also want to mention in the Star Wars corner of the Marvel Universe, we're up to number 50 on the regular title. Kieran Gillen, Salvador La Roca, and Darth Vader on the cover, and it says, in this issue, hope dies. So those Star Wars titles have been really good sellers for Marvel, so it's no surprise to see them continue. And that's going to do it for things I was going to point out from Marvel. Let's move on to DC and their standalone previews catalog now. It opens up with Batman 50 and 51. You know, 50 is supposed to be the marriage of Batman and Catwoman, wedding you'll never forget. Still don't know if it's actually going to take place. And I base that, you know, well, a lot to do on the fact that Batman's been a loner most of his career or publishing history, and the fact that it's Tom King, who loves to throw curveballs. So we'll see. But along with Tom King, there's art in the issue by a real who's who of talent here. We've got Mikhail Yanin, David Finch, Joelle Jones, Mitch Gerrits, Raphael Albuquerque, Neil Adams, Andy Kubert, Becky Cloonan, Ty Templeton, Jose Luis Garcia Lopez, Frank Miller, Lee Bermejo, and more. We've also got some variant covers by Olivier Coppiel, Jim Lee, Lee Weeks. 51 also has an Olivier Coppiel cover. And the regular cover of issue 50, is going to be by Mikhail Yanin. Regular cover of 51 and interior art by Lee Weeks. So it's going to be a big event and everyone's going to be talking about it. So wanted to let you guys know. And also in July, as we heard recently at a DC Comics panel at a show, we've got Catwoman number one. And I think this was at C2E2 that it was announced. Catwoman number one, written by Joelle Jones, with art by Joelle Jones. So that should be really cool to look forward to that. She did a great job with her arc that she did on Batman recently. And it's cool. The cover she does, Catwoman's actually holding a copy of issue 50 of Batman with Batman and her kissing on the cover. So that's really, really cool. And there's also going to be a Stan Lee Art Germ variant cover for that. So again, really popular cover artist right now. Sell out almost immediately. So be sure and let your retailer know if you want one of those. Over in the Superman corner of the universe, we've got Superman number one and Action Comics 1001. These are the two regular issue debuts of Brian Michael Bendis on the Superman character. We saw him write a little bit of the Superman character in Action Comics 1000. Also in the DC Nation Zero special. Prior to these two issues coming out, we're going to have the six-week Man of Steel series that's going to come out written by him. But these are his first two regular issues where get back into the swing of things with Action Comics 1001 and Superman number one. And I'll mention the artist, Superman number one, Yvonne Reese and Joe Prado. The variant covers by David Mack and Adam Hughes. And then over in Action Comics 1000, we've got art and cover by Patrick Gleason with variant covers by David Mack and Francis Manapul. We've also got Justice League Dark number one from James Tynan, art by Alvaro Martinez and Raul Fernandez, as well as a variant cover by Greg Capullo. And we've also got the Justice League Odyssey team debuting in number one, written by Joshua Williamson, art by Stepan Sedgwick, variant cover by Terry and Rachel Dodson. So what's interesting is I don't see a regular, I don't remember seeing a regular, oh, no, I did. We'll get to that in a second, but yeah. June, we're going to see the Justice League title, Scott Snyder, Jim Chung, and Jorge Jimenez. And a month later, we see the other two Justice League titles all spinning out of the Justice League No Justice event. Doomsday Clock has an issue this month. You know, it's now on an every other month schedule. So written by Geoff Johns, cover and art by Gary Frank. It's issue 6, so we're halfway home. We've got an Injustice versus He-Man and the Masters of the Universe written by Tim Seeley, who is huge fans of both those properties and is super excited to be on this title, as well as the artist Freddie Williams II, who's also a super great guy and does a lot of these crossovers. And he loves, you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Batman, and he loves Injustice and Masters of the Universe. So him getting to do these crossover properties is a lot of fun for him, and it really shows in his work. He's got so much passion for it. I wanted to mention Batgirl number 25 because Marguerite Bennett is taking over as the writer. Don't know how long she's going to be on the book, but for this issue, she has Dan Panosian, Paul Pelletier, and Emmanuel Lupacino on art. That's a real murderer's row right there of artists. But with Batwoman being canceled, as I mentioned earlier with issue 18, it would not surprise me to see Marguerite Bennett move over to Batgirl. So I'll keep my ears open about that and let you know if she is indeed announced as the regular writer for Batgirl. The Brave and the Bold, Batman and Wonder Woman number 6 from Liam Sharp, both writing and handling the art, comes to a conclusion with number 6. This has been a really fun issue, or series rather. The art is absolutely beautiful, just incredible, breathtaking. Liam Sharp, the guy just continually amazes me with the amount of detail and just the layouts, you know, just the form, the artistic impression, the impact that his images have. I mean, even looking on the cover of this, I'm just like, man, that is just blows me away with how amazing and dynamic his art is. Rumors that he's going to be on Green Lantern following this up. And he did mention on Twitter the other day that he was starting on his next project, even though he couldn't mention what it was. So I'm very anxious to find out what that is. But Brave and the Bold has been awesome. And as you listen to this, or as I release this on Tuesday the 15th, I think issue 4 of Brave and the Bold is coming out tomorrow I'm recording this on Monday, sorry. You'll hear it on Tuesday. And tomorrow, the 16th, it will be released, issue 4. So listen to the New Comics Day episode to hear my thoughts on issue 4. Let's see, what else from DC? We've got Detective Comics 984 and 985 coming out in July, and I mention these because they're written by Brian Edward Hill, who we had on the show not too long ago talking about Cyberforce, but we also chatted a little bit about his run on Detective. It's at least an arc. He's introducing a new villain, and there's some incredible Felipe Barones art, as well as variant covers by Mark Brooks. So we know Black Lightning's going to show up as well. And I'm really excited for Brian to get to draw Batman, his favorite character. And I hope he gets to stay on the title beyond just these two issues, but I guess we'll wait and see. Also, the Flash War starts up proper with the Flash 50 and 51 coming out in July, written by Joshua Williamson, art by Howard Porter for 50 and Scott Collins for 51. Also want to mention Green Lanterns 50 and 51 because Dan Jurgens is on the book. Now, one of you guys correct me if I'm wrong out there. I think this is the first time that we've seen Dan Jurgens on a Green Lantern book. But I could be wrong. And for some reason, I think I remember Dan when I've talked to him at a show before asking what character he'd like to do a run on. I think he specifically mentioned Flash and Green Lantern. He never has done... you know, he's written them in other books, but never written them in their own titles. But I'll have to check on that with him next time I see him. And granted, this is Green Lantern, so it's Simon Boz and Jessica Cruz rather than Hal Jordan. But he's getting there. He's getting there. I mean, I'd love to see him take over Hal Jordan in the Green Lantern Corps after Venditti finishes his run. Certainly would love to see him more so than Grant Morrison, which is the rumor that we've been hearing. But I guess we'll wait and see. Speaking of Hal Jordan, we've got Hal Jordan, the Green Lantern Corps 48 and 49, written by Robert Venditti, art by Rafa Sandoval and Jordi Tarragona. And it's continuing Robert's last arc on the book, which is the Dark Stars Rising story, which has been absolutely incredible. I can't wait to find out how it all shakes out, but at the same time, bittersweet, because I know Rob's going to be leaving the book. But speaking of Rob Venditti, Hawkman number 2 is going to be out in July. Really cool cover image from Brian Hitch. Art in the issue will also be by Brian Hitch with a variant cover by Stefan Sejic. And I really think, just based on the strength of Robert Venditti as a writer, do not sleep on Hawkman. Get out there, pre-order 1, pre-order 2. This is going to be one of those books that I think the sales are going to like creep up really quickly. And I have a feeling that if retailers under-order on the first few issues, they're going to be really hard to track down. So you're better off letting your retailer know to put one aside for you. All right, what else do we have? Oh, I mentioned earlier about Justice League, the regular title. We have issues 3 and 4 coming out in July from Scott Snyder and Jorge Jimenez. And it's a new color for the Lantern Spectrum from Scott Snyder. We have Jon Stewart becoming an ultra-violent Lantern, which I think means violent. Ultraviolet, violent Lantern. So we'll have to read it to find out what that's all about. Also want to mention that Mira, Queen of Atlantis, number 6, written by Dan Abnett, art by Lan Medina and Norm Ratman, comes to a close in July. We've got Mr. Miracle 10 in July after a one-month break, written by Tom King, art by Mitch Gerrards. Super cool-looking Dark Side cover by Nick Darrington. So definitely check that out. It's been a hot-selling title. Also, Plastic Man number 2. I mentioned that because be sure to pick up number 1 in June and then come back for number 2 in July, written by Gail Simone, art by Adriano Mello, whose work I am not super familiar with, but from everything I've seen so far, seems like it's going to be a really good fit for Plastic Man. Sideways number 6 I want to mention, written by Dan Didio and Justin Jordan. I want to mention it because last issue, issue 5, was solicited. It didn't have art by Kenneth Rocafort, but he's returning to the book. I guess he just needed a month off. He's one of the few and perhaps the only artist that was announced as an artist on one of these DC metal New Age of Heroes books that still has the original artist. You know, Jim Lee's moved on. Yvonne Reese has moved on. From Terrifics, who else? JR has moved on from Silencer. It's nice to see that Sideways continues with the original artist. And I think that's it from DC. Oh, no. I wanted to mention the Wildstorm 15 from Warren Ellis and John Davis Hunt, as well as the Wildstorm Michael Cray, written by Brian Hill, with art by N. Steve Harris and Dexter Vines. Both these books are really, really good, and I think they're flying under the radar. And I know I've heard some blowback from some longtime Wildstorm fans because this is such a different take. And I can kind of understand that. You know, you're missing your Wildstorm characters. I totally get that. You know, nostalgia being what it is. But just, you know, you've got to be able to read this and just – appreciate the story that Warren Ellis is trying to tell and forget that it has anything to do with the past Wildstorm stuff. I didn't read a lot of the old Wildstorm stuff. I dip my toe in now and then, but I'm really, really enjoying the story that Warren Ellis and Brian Hill are telling in these respective titles. And then one Omnibus Deluxe Edition I'll mention is the Crisis on Infinite Earth's Companion, just because it's must reading if you want to understand even the current state of the DC universe and the multiverse and all that. So I don't think it quite collects everything, but it collects a whole heck of a lot of those, all the Crisis issues, and then a lot of the tie-ins as well. All right, well, that's going to do it for DC. Now on to the main book proper. And again, it's just, it makes it a little tough when they have all these different magazines that you have to look through just to talk about the books that are coming out this month. So we'll start with Image. They're now first in the main book. And I'll mention Aphrodite 5 again. Brian Hill, sensing a theme here. Yeah, I love me some Brian Hill. Guy's a great writer, and he's bringing back the Aphrodite property at Top Cow with Aphrodite 5 number one, with art and cover by Jeff Spokes. So very curious to find out what that's all about. Also another number one, Outpost Zero from Sean Kelly McKeever, art by Alexandra Tafengi. Welcome to Outpost Zero, the smallest town in the universe. The people there work the land, go to the fights every Friday night, and tuck their children into bed. But the outplace is no place for dreams or aspirations. To survive is ambitious enough. As Aaliyah and her friends graduate to adulthood on a frozen world never meant to support human life, something stirs, something sees. So it seems like somewhat of a coming of age slash horror in the Thing kind of genre, with the outpost in the middle of nowhere and the cold and the ice. But McKeever's a good creator, and it does say it's a young adult slash teen audience. So I think that I'll definitely check that one out. It looks pretty solid, and I'll let you know my thoughts on that. Let's see, what else from Image? We've got Witchblade Volume 1, collecting the first six issues of that new version of the character. We've got Analog Number 4 by Jerry Dugan, art by David O'Sullivan. Second issue came out last week. It's or does it come out this week? Let me take a quick look. I think it actually comes out this week. So if you're not familiar with Analog, it's basically in the future. There is no privacy on the internet anymore. So in order for information to be disseminated or passed along securely, there are men known as ledger men who basically walk around with briefcases handcuffed to their wrist, and the information actually written down on paper. So very much Analog. It did come out last week, and it's been a really fun title so far. Let me also mention that The Dead Hand number 4 comes out in July. That's been an incredible story. I just finished reading issue 2 earlier today, actually, and I'm going to be talking with Kyle Higgins about that, and that'll be on our New Comics Wednesday episode this week, talking about issue 2 and the series overall. So I really encourage you to check that out. It's conspiracy, it's the Cold War, it's incredible Stephen Mooney art, so it gets my highest recommendation. Also, Gideon Falls, a horror comic by Jeff Lemire, with art by Andrea Sorrentino. Very subtle horror. It's not like slasher fic. It's not in your face, but it's a mystery, and it's suspenseful, and I've really been enjoying that. Curious to see how that story continues to play out. One of the most beautiful comics I've seen in a really long time, Isola number 4, comes out in July. Issue 2 just came out last week. And Brendan Fleischer and Carl Kerschel are the creative minds behind the story. And we've got Kerschel and Sasiak, I believe is how she pronounces it, on the art. So, I mean, the art on this book is just breathtaking. It's so, so, so good. So I had to mention it. First issue sold out, went to second printing. I imagine the second issue is going to sell out as well. So one of the ones that you're going to want to tell your retailers to set aside for you, for sure. Port of Earth number 7 from Zach Kaplan and Andrea Moody comes out in July. It's another one that's just really, really solid storytelling. We've talked about it on the podcast quite a bit already. We've got The Return of 7 to Eternity, which has been a pretty popular title for Image. Rick Remender with Jerome Opeña and Matt Hollingsworth on art. We've also got Skyward number 4. First issue of that just exceeded all my expectations. In fact, had Joe Henderson on the show to talk about it. Art by Lee Garbett and Antonio Fabella. Premise is, what if gravity on the Earth was reduced by 90%? How would the world change? So interesting premise and very, very good execution. Also in July, we have the return of Thief of Thieves with number 38. This is from an idea by Robert Kirkman, and it's from his Skybound imprint, but he's never written any of the actual issues. Some really great writers like Nick Spencer and Andy Diggle have done most of the heavy lifting. With the return here to tell one final arc is Brett Lewis writing, And we've got Sean Martinborough and Adriano Lucas on art. Martinborough's been on the art since the beginning. It's lent some real consistency to the book because, as I said, there's been several writers. But it's one of my favorite titles. Very, very underrated. All right, moving on to Dark Horse. We have The Quantum Age from the World of Black Hammer, number one. This is from Jeff Lemire. Art in this is from Wilfredo Torres. And it's basically the Black Hammer universe, if you're not familiar. It's a shared superhero universe over at Dark Horse, Jeff Lemire's brainchild. And it's kind of an homage to the Golden Age and the Silver Age and playing with some of the tropes from those time periods in comics. And this Quantum Age book specifically is his kind of love letter to the Legion of Superheroes. So definitely want to check that out. Also from Dark Horse this month, there's a StarCraft comic called StarCraft Scavengers Number 1, written by Jody Hauser, art by Gabriel Guzman. So if you're a StarCraft fan, you may want to check that out. Xerxes from Frank Miller continues with number 4 of 5 in July from Dark Horse. And let's see, anything else from Dark Horse? Now, I think that's it. So we're going to move on to the next section, which is IDW. I want to mention we have Transformers Unicron number 1 and Transformers Unicron number 2 from IDW. And the reason I mention these is I don't know if IDW, if the license is expiring for Transformers, if they lost the license, if they're going to relaunch Transformers as more streamlined instead of having all these different titles. Just not sure. But what I do know for sure is this Transformers Unicron miniseries is going to bring to a close the current corner of IDW that deals with Transformers. This is like the final story that is going to be told in this version of the Transformers universe at IDW. Also from IDW, picked as a gem of the month, Big Hero 6 number 1. And this is the, not the Marvel comic previously, Big Hero 6, but the movie version that was loosely based on the comic. And I think there's also a cartoon. So if you saw the movie and enjoyed it, it's those same characters. Doesn't say if it's limited or ongoing, so I'm going to assume it's ongoing. It doesn't say otherwise. But if you're a Big Hero 6 fan, you may want to check it out. It's written by Hannah Blumenreich with art by Nicoletta Baldry. Apologies for butchering those names. also from IDW, Sonic the Hedgehog number 7. I think the first four issues of Sonic were all weekly, and then I think from then it must go to monthly, because if it was coming out on a weekly basis, they'd be higher than 7 by the time July rolled around, I think. And I only see one issue solicited here, so I read the first issue, it was okay, but I've heard that a lot of people are really digging this new Sonic now that IDW has the license, so check that out if you want to. Also, I'll mention Wynonna Earp, Greatest Hits number 1, writer Bo Smith, art by Laura Innes. I know Wynonna Earp has a huge following, both of the comic and the show, so I wanted to mention that for any Earpers out there who listen to the podcast. And then the last thing I'm going to mention from IDW is actually Advance Solicited. It doesn't come out until September, but it's the Jim Lee DC Legends Artifact Edition. So this is oversized, you know, it's 12 inches by 17 inches. $125. Don't know if there will be a discount at DCBS, but it's a must-have for all Jim Lee fans, because this is the closest you're going to get to seeing his original art on some iconic images, like the cover for Wildcats number 2 or some of his Hush covers. I'm going to try to swing it. I don't know if I'll be able to afford it, but I'm going to see if I can get my hands on that myself. All right, moving on to Dynamite. I want to mention Project Superpowers number 0. It's a 10-cent issue, special introductory price. For those not aware, Project Superpowers, as I said, it's a 10th anniversary edition, so they the property, the idea, has been around for 10 years, and some of them are, some of the characters are characters that are kind of in the public domain, and Dynamite has titles that, that sometimes use those characters. But basically, this is their version of a shared superhero universe, and you can get in on the ground floor, because apparently they're relaunching it, and you can pick up issue zero for just 10 cents. Regular comic size, you know, you get the full 32 pages for only 10 cents. And if you want to catch up on the previous Project Superpowers stuff, there's an omnibus that is 584 pages for $40, so it's probably half off. Or maybe, I don't know, Dynamite not might not be half off, might only be 30% off. But anyway, you can get it at a discount at DCBS, and it collects Project Superpowers Chapter 1, Project Super, which is issues 0 through 7, Project Superpowers Half Issue, Project Superpowers Chapter 2, which is 0 through 12 numbered issues, and it says over 500 pages of story plus more than 40 pages of bonus material by Alex Ross himself. So if you're an Alex Ross fan, probably going to want to check that out. And I mean, for 10 cents, it's hard to argue with getting Project Superpowers 0. All right, do we have anything else from Dynamite? I just wanted to mention that Dynamite continues to put out the James Bond titles, which I know a lot of people are enjoying. I have the first two limited series of James Bond from Dynamite, but I haven't made time to read them. And they came out like, I don't know, 2-3 years ago now. I'm a James Bond fan, but man, you know, only so many hours in the day. Also from Dynamite, Nancy Drew, number 2 from Kelly Thompson. I didn't mention number 1 last month, so I wanted to mention number 2 here. It's a new take on Nancy Drew, and I know that the Nancy Drew Hardy Boys crossover that IDW put out did really well, so I just wanted to mention that. We've also got the continuing Red Sonja and Tarzan crossover with number 3 of 6 from Gail Simone, with art by Walter Giovanni. Those two were the ones that, those two creators were the ones that recently, I say recently, it's been like 2 years now, but they relaunched Red Sonja at Dynamite, and that series did really, really well. So just wanted to mention that. Moving on to Boom, I'll mention that there is a Jim Henson's Beneath the Dark Crystal, number 1 of 12. So if you're a fan of the Dark Crystal, you may want to check that out. Written by Adam Smith with art by Alexandria Huntington. We've also got another new number 1 at Boom coming out in July called Bone Parish, written by Cullen Bunn, illustrated by Seraph and Mustafa Karosu. And I mention it because, let me read you the copy here. It sounds kind of crazy. A new drug is sweeping through the streets of New Orleans, one made from the ashes of the dead. Wars are being fought over who will control the supply, while the demand only rises. While the crime families wage war, users begin to experience terrifying visions of the dead coming back to life through them. Yeah, super, super creepy. I'm definitely going to have to check that out. There's not too many horror writers working in the industry today that are better than Cullen, so definitely going to have to check that out. Also at Boom, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers number 29, written by Kyle Higgins, illustrated by Danielle Di Nakulu. And I mention this only because the Power Rangers title seems to be selling like hotcakes these days. So if you're a fan, it's another one that you should be telling your retailer to hold for you, you know, start a pull list so you don't miss out. Also, the criminally underrated Mech Cadet U number 10 from Greg Pak and Takeshi Miyazawa comes out in July. And that book is just all ages goodness. It's so fun. A boy and his pet robot. I'll just put it that way. A boy and his giant pet robot. Think Iron Giant, but with like a Japanese flair. Meanwhile, over at Aftershock, one of my favorite publishing companies, we've got Relay number 1 from Zach Thompson, Andy Clark, from an idea by Donnie Cates. We had Zach on our Aftershock Monday episode not too long ago to talk about the title. Big sci-fi book that explores ideas of independence and monoculture and theology. I think it's going to be really great, especially with Andy Clark art. Andy Clark on sci-fi is just a match made in heaven. There's absolutely no doubt of that. New series coming out in July from Aftershock by Sean Lewis and Antonio Fuso, Clan Killers. So Game of Thrones meets Braveheart. So clan wars in ancient Ireland. Is it ancient Ireland? Yeah, I guess it's ancient Ireland. It says right here, ancient Ireland. So yeah, definitely check that out. Let's see, what else in the back of the book here? Over at Aspen, we had J.T. Kroll on not too long ago, and he was talking about his new series he's really excited for, New Way. He's writing that along with Dina Wu. And we've got pencils by Alex Conant. And it's, in the future, technology continues to dominate every aspect of civilization, and nowhere is it more on display than the city of New Shang, a vast metropolis where those with means live high amongst the lights and those without live in the shadows below. So you can imagine the dichotomy there, and a fighter who's searching for a better way of life. He sacrifices his body in the ring, and he's getting ready to pay an even bigger price in order to battle in the main arena with the elite cybernetically enhanced warriors to try to rise above his station. So sounds really great. Definitely going to be checking that one out. Let's see what else in the back of the book here. Got a big gap without anything. How about, what did I mark this page for? Tomorrow's? Is that really the next thing that I had? I guess so. From Tomorrow's Publishing, something that I wanted to mention. No, there had to be something before that. No, I guess not. Wow, I went all the way from Aspen to Tomorrow's. It's crazy. Well, I guess a lot of the ones that normally come between there, like Boom and IDW and such, are in the front of the book now. So anyway, Tomorrow's. Kirby and Lee, Stuff Said, softcover. So this is 160 pages, black and white, from Tomorrow's, and it's basically examining the relationship between those two creators, basically the progenitors of the Marvel Universe. And what this does is it chronologically goes through and reprints interviews and articles and such about their collaboration. And it's all in chronological order from fanzines, magazines, radio, television interviews. And it helps to paint a picture of Jack Lee and Jack Kirby and Stan Lee's relationship, why it succeeded. So I think that if you're a big Marvel fan and you're a fan of comics history, this is must reading. Also from Tomorrow's, we've got another volume of the American Comic Book Chronicles. This covers the 1990s, so it'll have some insight into the big crash of the 90s. And the back issue for our back issue magazine number 107 for this month covers Archie comics, so just mention that as well. And I think the last thing I'll talk about, as usually do, because it's all the way in the back, is Valiant. We've got a new volume of Britannia. It's The Lost Eagles of Rome, number one, from Peter Milligan, with art by Robert Gill. And this basically tells the story of the first detective using, like, actual methods of detection. And I'm not sure if there's any, like, forensic. I mean, it'd be hard to do any kind of testing, but just the idea of looking for clues and solving crimes and being a detective. And the first issue of Britannia was very, very well received. So if you're a fan of that, probably going to want to check this out. Harbinger Wars 2 continues with number 3 of 4. Shadow Man is up to number 5. We've got Ninja K number 9 and Bloodshot 11 all this month from Valiant. So I think that's going to do it for this episode of Future Picks. Again, apologies that it took a little longer than usual. Doing it by myself this time. Plus, man, I got to flip through like three different books to tell you guys what I'm looking for. So if I missed anything, be sure and reach out and let me know. I always hear from one or two people that are like, oh, you forgot to mention this, forgot to mention that. I mean, the book is so thick, and like I said, it's easy for me to miss stuff, especially now that it's divided up into three different volumes, so to speak. So if you do want to reach out and let me know something I missed, twitter.com/thecomicsource is where we can be found on Twitter. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three places are great spots to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. Don't forget, you can go to lrmonline.com for all past episodes of the podcast. And while you're there, be sure to check out all our other coverage on pop culture, movies, TV shows, all that kind of good stuff. So thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time.